Measuring yourself is easy in some respects, like your age, your height, your weight, but not so easy in others, like your character, integrity, and maturity. But those are the real measurements we should be focusing on. Your quantitative info doesn't define who you are, it's your qualitative info that does. But growth doesn't just happen. It takes intentional accountability on your part. So welcome to The Measuring Post, a place where we can learn and grow together.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Measuring Post, a place to learn and grow together. Today, I'm extremely excited for this one because growing is not always something that happens internally. Sometimes you got to look at those black and white numbers on your bank statements. You got to worry about your financial life. And to do that, we're bringing in an expert today on something that seems very magical and mystical, the world of cryptocurrency. Now, this handsome gentleman to my right, as I'm looking at the screen, is Chris Klein. We grew up together. We played peewee sports together. We went to elementary, middle school, and high school together. Known this man for almost 35 years of my life. How are you today, sir? Thank you for coming on The Measuring Post.
Hey, thanks for having me, Joe. It's so nice to be here and share this story. It's funny you say we played sports together. I don't remember playing sports very well. I was always a mathlete, not an athlete, I think.
Well, I think I played sports. You were on the bench watching the other kids play. But you were there. You were there. No, it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, you were a mathlete. I mean, honestly, even in elementary school, we all talked about Chris Klein as like, this kid's going to be the president. We already knew, you know, and then you ended up going being student council president. But you just had that aura about you. You were like, you were leaps and bounds smarts ahead of all of us. And we knew it. So we had to shine on the baseball diamond because we couldn't do it in school with you.
And that's why I did it in the classroom, was because there was no way I could swing a bat.
Yeah, absolutely. And normally when I do this, I get dressed up. I got my hair done. The reason I didn't today is because I'm going to drop my Make Money Great Again hat, this Bitcoin IRA themed hat that you can have for your very own. I'm honored to get one in the mail from you, my friend. And I guess that'll kind of be the launch point of what we talk about today, because I remember you picked up all your stuff, basically put your life in a backpack, in a car, and you drove to California and you said, crypto or bust, right? It was like the old school gold mine rush. But instead, you followed the digital currency and it took you out to California where you met your beautiful wife. You got your daughter there now and you got your roots planted. But for a lot of people, myself included, especially at the time, I had no idea what the hell cryptocurrency was. And I know a lot of people still don't really get it. So tell us a little bit about kind of what got you into cryptocurrency. And obviously now you're the owner of Bitcoin IRA, but I'll let you explain all the fancy mathlete stuff.
Absolutely. Well, first, when I packed the one-way ticket in the suitcase back in 2012, I didn't know what I was going to do. I had a job offer in San Francisco, stopped through in Los Angeles, serendipitously met my now business partners and close friends, and jumped into, they had an immediate need for a business. And sometimes in life, you just find yourself like that. I basically gave up all responsibility in a lot of ways, sold all my worldly possessions, fit everything in one suitcase, and all I knew is I didn't want to keep doing what I was doing. And a lot of that was driven by like not letting you down and others that, like you said, you guys watched me grow up, and we got out of school right during the financial crisis or the recession or whatever they name it now, but the housing crisis that took place. It wasn't a great time to be a college graduate with a brand new degree and no job experience. I don't know if you remember that. That's probably why we both ended up in such unique places. Our generation came out and it wasn't just you get a job and you follow the career path. It was a different economy to deal with. And so came out and I lived in a motel for the first year, a really bad one. Like Motel 6 looked good to where I was at, right on the right at the intersection of the 405 and the 101 here in Los Angeles. And that's when Carla met me too, and I had nothing. And it was just looking for, you know, that freedom to do something different. I didn't want to keep doing what I was doing, but I didn't have that like urge to go join corporate America and play that rat race. I wanted to do something different. And so we started, their need as a business was they were doing a lot of marketing for real estate, precious metals, and land companies that were offering these assets inside of retirement. And a lot of folks, myself included at the time, had no clue you could do things like that within your retirement plan. We're used to buy ABC funds, do an annuity, basic stuff with our 401k, things like that. But there's this whole world outside of the traditional asset world that is used in things called self-directed IRAs. And you can literally put a title of a home in there, not an investment into a real estate trust, but actually an actual house. People put one of my favorite clients that I've seen in the past, they bought a bunch of John Deere tractors and then leased them out to farmers in their area, and the tractors were owned by their retirement plan. So all that income was tax-free growth and tax-free distribution down the road. So it's people will store barrels of oil. They'll put gold bars and coins. Right around the post 2009 fallout of the economy, gold soared like crazy. So it was very popular at the time. So we start testing and figuring out, okay, these companies aren't in business anymore, but we have their marketing contracts. What can we do here? And you have a lot of, like, going up to that plate on the baseball diamond, you got a lot of strikeouts in life, for sure. And so a few of them just didn't take off at all. One of them made okay money, but nothing that you call home and write about, right? And in fact, for that whole first year, I always left $200 underneath the mattress at my motel so that if it just all fell apart, at least I had the bus fare to get back home. Like, to get back, that was my thought, was that that's there, that 200 bucks is there. I think my daughter has since stolen it and spent it on something silly, like at Sephora or something like that. But that's what I did, was like, okay, there's the backup plan. I'll just hit the abort button and we'll go back to, and at the time I was bartending at a Famous Dave's and working like at a startup that, I mean, taking home less than $30,000 a year. And so it wasn't like I could get any worse. I just needed to challenge myself. And then what happened was, you asked about crypto. Where did that come from, right? So we're finding some success. We're getting really good at understanding alternative retirements. And we start building this mission statement around us that we want to help Americans retire. It's pretty common knowledge for most folks, especially where we came from, that there's a retirement crisis happening. People just aren't saving early. They're not saving often. Our parents' generation is going to struggle. Maybe not our parents specifically, but their generation is going to struggle to retire at a decent time. They were the first ones to make less money than their parents did, or we are now, like, in that conundrum. And what folks are really looking for, and where we hit that pathos, we felt like, was they're looking for freedom. They just the opportunity to be free of the stress and the sleepless nights of how am I going to retire and what am I going to do to retire? What's my lifestyle going to look like in retirement? And am I going to be able to afford retirement? Most folks today, I was just on Bloomberg in April for the halving event for Bitcoin, which we'll chat about in a bit. And the Northwest Mutual had this piece that came out a couple years ago, 2020, before the COVID pandemic, that Americans felt like they needed $750,000 in their retirement to retire comfortably when they quit their jobs. And that number is now a staggering 1.5 million. It's almost doubled in just three short years because people are realizing that we have a currency crisis on our hands as well. Prices are not getting cheaper. They never go down. They only go up or stay flat. And you know, when we were kids, our parents would go to the grocery store and fill the whole thing with 20 bucks. And now that's add a zero to that and another zero for the monthly for just a regular family of three or four. And so this is where people are at. They're seeking. They have this desire to find some freedom for themselves. And I tell you, this launching this company was watching those life-changing moments, because we started in 2015 was when we started building it, and the challenge just came across the desk of, could this be done? And at the time, I didn't even know what Bitcoin was, so I had to go down that rabbit hole. Have you done some rabbit holing on Bitcoin yet?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I'm going to backtrack just for a minute. I'll touch on that. But yes, not as much. But, you know, you were talking about your daughter, how she might have stole your $200. It's funny because you've done all these interviews. You were on Bloomberg. You've done some of these morning shows and talking about your company. And I love the one where you brought Izzy on with you. And you were talking about like what she wanted to invest in. And she was a big, I don't know if it was Roblox or Minecraft, one of the games. And she's like, well, I want to invest at it. And I love this company. You go, well, why don't we look at maybe buying some stock in that company? And it was just so cool to see like that knowledge transferred down to your daughter, because I was like, man, she's got a better retirement strategy than I do already. And, you know, I've got the traditional 401ks and the Roth IRAs and stuff that you're told to set up, you know, out of college. But cryptocurrency was always a mystery to me. Like, I definitely did some research and I bought some Bitcoin, not knowing if I got the right price. I had some Ethereum. I had some Litecoin, and I still have a lot of those things, but they're just kind of, you know, set it and forget it. But I didn't understand any of it. I didn't understand how to or how the mining works or anything like that. So it's still a bit of a mystery to me. But, like, you know, going back to talk about the crisis of the currency, there has to be a change, because, you know, you're talking the grocery. There was a story that came out. A guy found his old receipt from, like, Walmart or King Supers.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And it was, like, from, you know, 4 years previous, and he recreated that, you know, just got the same exact items or a very comparable, you know, swap if one of them wasn't available. And his price went from, like, $100 to, like, $400. And yeah, and that's just for just the same basket of groceries. And, like, you know, if you got a family, I have a 17-year-old son who is an athlete in high school, you know, a captain of the football team. He eats like a horse. It's like $3,000 just to feed him. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So no, to answer your question in a long winded in way that it made stories about me, I have no idea about cryptocurrency, man. So I can imagine even back then when it was really kind of booming and coming out of the shadows that it was speaking a foreign language for sure.
Yeah. Oh, and we came in, so Bitcoin was birthed in or conceived in 2009. It's a teenager now. It's just a little younger than your son, actually. And when it came out, there's this whole crew of the OGs, as they call themselves. And I was out of place with those folks, just even being 3 or 4 years in. So one of the things we tried to do as a business was make it feel comfortable, make it make sense to folks, fit it into their needs and their wants. Because you can go down, and I've been in deep interviews where I, like, get lost and it's scary of how does mining work and how does what are shards and what are blocks and these. And really, it's just the production of the money is all you have to think about. So how does money produce? Well, before dollars, we had to go find gold. Empires were completely created off the, we're going to go mine a bunch of gold. And we find the gold, we're going to create a civilization. So there was gold or silver or some precious metal or gem or stone that said, this is valuable. And before that, it was pretty much food and barter and trade. I went to Izzy's school when she was in preschool. And the teacher, I said, I wanted to teach the kids about money and Bitcoin. Like, these are kindergartners, you know, like, but I was like, we think we can do this. So what I did was, I got four outfits and I put, I got four volunteers in the class and I put four kids in different outfits. So Izzy had this store, because you know how they always have that little store that's at the preschools. So that was the store, set it up in the front of the classroom, and she runs the store and she's selling things. And first comes in is a caveman, and the caveman just has a rock, and he trades the rock for a rubber chicken. And that's like that was the barter and trade of the time. And then the next one came in as a Roman soldier, and he drops some gold and silver coins on and buys the same product. And then there's a modern day kid that didn't have an outfit, just what they look like today. And he's sitting there with US dollars, which, by the way, I never got that money back either. These kids are good. And then the fourth one is a kid in an astronaut outfit with a helmet and everything on, walking in and using his digital phone or a digital device to pay for it with cryptocurrency or digital currency. And for the kids, that just clicked for them. And Izzy got into it right away there. And then about a year or so later, she had her first. I try to always keep it as simple as a fifth grader, right? And this is when she was in second grade. The marketing team saw that she had these coins, which they might be in my drawer here. Yeah, here they are. I do get, because they're not worth anything. That's why she doesn't steal these things. But it's like a commemorative Litecoin. This one's Ripple. This one's Ethereum. And there's a Bitcoin around here. And so I taught her one word associations, because, you know, there's 1,400 of these things. And so Bitcoin is money as we know it today. Ethereum is contracts. And I've actually kind of retrained her to talking more about, like, internet contracts, like these exchanges of data and information that could be locked up via this blockchain. It also is like the backbone of the internet for all new apps that are coming out. So all the apps that are on our phones today, eventually they'll be on either a Solana or an Ethereum type network. It'd be like buying utilities back in the day, power lines, and when fiber was being ran. If you could invest in those directly, that's what you'd be doing, or just shares of the internet. And then Ripple is banks. And that's is now happening. This was years ago and people never thought it, but SWIFT is how money moves between banks constantly, and overnight funds and things. It's how money is always fluid and there's no credit crunch. But it's an efficient process, and there's third-party trust, and there's contracts associated. Ripple is a technology that's getting laid over top of that now as we speak, and making it a more efficient, because money's moving faster than it ever has, and the old system just couldn't keep up with the speed for settlement. And then her favorite, the Litecoin one, is for shopping. And Litecoin, you know, I'll be honest, it hasn't really, like, come to fruition of, like, what it was about to do, which I think was going to be its catalyst, was right before COVID happened. It was going to become, you go to Live Nation, Ticketmaster, and you'd see pay with Visa, American Express, PayPal, and then Litecoin was going to get added. But what timing, right? Right before the entire economy shuts down, there are no concerts for 3 years. And it just really hasn't recovered from that moment, I think. But it's for shopping. There's more of them that are made than Bitcoin, and so then it can be used for more of a function. But those all are just simple things, because in El Salvador, for example, just south of us, there are people using Bitcoin day to day. They're buying their coffee. They're paying their rent with it because it's now based on that. And people always say, well, volatility, right? That's a question I'm sure you get a lot, is the volatility component of this. Well, that's because it's being compared to other volatile assets. When we say, oh, Bitcoin is $70,000 today, we're involving dollars. And dollars move as well, and they move relative to each other. And when the dollar's losing its purchasing power because we keep printing it, we keep making more money out of thin air for stimulus packages and to feed our debt and pay interest on our debt, which is now in the billions of dollars a month. We just have to keep making money. We bought in on this concept in like 1970, and now we're 40, 50 years into it, and you can't turn this ship tanker around. It's on a path. And when money loses its backing, which this has happened before, America's not the first ones to do it. The Romans did it, and several other civilizations. They get so big that they can't find enough of the gold or the precious metal or gem, but they want their economy to keep growing. So in essence, they pump money in to grow an economy. The last podcast I had, and I really want to introduce you to him, is this guy, Brian Decker. He's got Wealth Society. It's great, really great guy. Flew down and saw him. And if you price things in Bitcoin cents versus dollar cents, think about houses. So you've been in real estate a long time. Just the last 3 years, with all the money that got injected into the economy, housing prices went up. People had more money to pay for a house, more competition, and those prices rose. If you look at it in terms of Bitcoin, the average house has gone down. So we were at 7 or 8 Bitcoin was the average house back in 2019, 2020. Today, it's 4.5, 5 is where it's at. And so even though if you live within Bitcoin and it becomes the center of your savings and the zeros and ones and as part of your diversification of portfolio, you'll see that happen over time where you're basically storing value for yourself. What people commonly do with real estate, it's scarce. They do it with gold and silver, they're scarce. People are always looking for having a scarce asset. It does help drive some financial freedom. When everything else is based in dollars that are created without your and I say so, they just keep making them. Our whole lives they've been making them. And adding to debt, these are things we're outside of our control, but they impact that number at the end of the day. It's why folks think they need twice as much money to get through retirement, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's beautifully put. And I like that you talk about like wanting to keep it at the grade level of a fifth grader, because I forget who said this. I should have looked this up while you were talking there. But there was a really good quote that I like that says, basically, if you can't explain it to a child and make it make sense, then you don't understand the material enough yourself. Yeah. You have to be able to dial it down and explain it in that way. And I like how you kind of gave each coin its own, like, this is for shopping, this is for contracts. Because honestly, I've heard you talk about that before on a different show. But when you first said it, when I first heard it, it was like a light bulb for me too. Like, I had no idea that there was any difference. I thought it was like, it's Coca-Cola and Pepsi and, you know, Dr. Pepper. They're all flavors of the same thing, but they serve different purposes, which is really cool. And I like the technology that's gone in behind it, you know, because I also did some IT for a long time, the blockchain technology, which people it's like, again, speaking a foreign language, blockchain is just it's a contract, or it's essentially a list of transactions that have happened that are intertwined that you can't change one detail of it. You can't go in and change a 0 to a 1 because then it messes up the whole chain, because it's all an algorithm that's tied together that is a non-repudiation sort of, tool. So yep. people can't go in and steal out of your bank account like a hacker can get your credit card and take, yep. you know, $500. Can't do that with blockchain. So really it is a safe technology. I know it's very scary and sort of overwhelming to the layperson like me, but really it's a safe, secure way to handle money. But again, you know, everyone talks about like, well, the US dollar is the one, but everybody pays on their phone, you know. Yeah. It is digital. Everybody touches their phone to the digital machine, and it's what's the difference? There is no difference, right? So eventually, I think we're going to see the U.S. dollar become obsolete. Maybe not for many, many years. Maybe not in our lifetime even. But I think the way of the future is this, and you do see the El Salvadors. And I know Japan, and correct me if I'm wrong, they were making their own cryptocurrency that they're going to use for their for a national sort of
transactions. Yes, there's a couple of those. Like the Chinese, the Japanese, and even the U.S. is talking about these central bank digital tokens, CBDCs, or coins. The problem with them is it's like putting gas in a Tesla. It doesn't fit. You're trying to wedge old thinking into new technology. And that's really all it is. It's not scary. It's my favorite video I saw about a month ago on Instagram or something was that somebody found an old video of a news record, like a news team, like local Channel 9 news going to a Burger King and watching people use credit cards for the first time when Burger King started accepting. And we were kids then, right? And I remember it was always like, that was huge. People were like, oh, I'm not going to use this. Why would I use this? And now you can't survive in our country without at least a debit card or a credit card or something. Like you have to have the plastic in your wallet. And so it's just people take time to change and evolve to things. And it's usually not until they have a reason to do it. So it became cumbersome to carry around more money. We were carrying around more money because everything was getting more expensive. You could carry around $20 and make it like 2 or 3 days back then. Now that's not going to get you down the driveway, really.
No, there's a funny George Carlin comedy skit before he died. And he's talking about going to gas station to get a pack of gum. And the guy in front of him pulls out his credit card. And he's like, get your have $5 on you. You know, it's like, it's become so commonplace to use a card in the digital aspect that like people don't have $1 on them anymore to go, you know, get a pack of gum. And it was like this whole 5 minute spiel from George Carlin, very funny comedian to all you young people out there.
Yeah. Look him up
on the interwebs. Look him up. He was pretty darn funny, but that was a really good bit, but you're right. It's becoming a necessity now. And nobody wants to walk around with $1,000 in cash on them because first of all, you're a target. But also it's way more easy to use your phone that you already have with you or your one little piece of plastic in your pocket. So, you know, it's cool to see that you've done that, but not only have you kind of submerged your life with Bitcoin in general, but cryptocurrency in general, but you found a way to people to take this and put them in IRA accounts. And that's kind of the birthstone of Bitcoin IRA. So what was that like as far as structuring this for retirement and like what sort of hurdles did you see with that?
So you have to make it comfortable. At the end of the day, there's three pieces to any retirement account. You have to have a bank or a trust that's regulated by a state. Almost all of them are regulated by states. So all banks are. If you ever land in like Overland Park, Kansas, outside of St. Louis, or outside of Kansas City, or Sioux Falls, South Dakota, or even Reno, Nevada. These are the most friendly banking states in the nation. And so all banks get regulated by them. And you land at the airplane and you see all these Fidelities and TD Ameritrades, like all their buildings are there because that's where you have to have your offices to get regulated by that state. So for example, over the time, we've built our own bank trust, Digital Trust, which is regulated out of Nevada. So we have a corporate headquarters in Nevada or in Las Vegas. And so I get to go there every 3 months, which is not a bad thing. It's a quick flight.
Yeah, not the worst place to go to
a business trip. Not the worst. Absolutely. But that's piece one. Piece two is you have to have somewhere to store Bitcoin safely. And that is part of the challenge. So there are, I think I have one in here as my ledger device, my original one that I used for myself personally a long time ago. It just looks like a USB drive. Literally, that's all.
And it's like a digital wallet, correct?
Yep, it's your digital wallet. And when you first open it and create it, you create what's called a seed document. And it's 24 words like Apple, George, Swing, like just random words that are your sequence. And that's what you store. You like make a copy of it, put it somewhere safe. back it up on like somewhere encrypted that you want to have it. And that's your key to make new that wallet again. So if something happens to that wallet, you lose it. It's, if you lose a bar of gold, it's gone. If you lose the device that the Bitcoin's on, if you have that key, you can access it with any other device in the world. So you need, so, but that's, that in itself is inherent chaos, right? Because people, I mean, what we see today, how often people say, oh, I got hacked in my email, or how many Facebook people, how many parents' Facebooks have been hacked this year, right?
Oh my
this,
goodness.
And you can, you know, right away, because you see the post coming up, you're like, oh, Jim, I think you got hacked. And then like 10 days later, they're like, I got hacked. It's, and that's the new post, right?
So I think I've made 7 or 8 Facebook accounts for my grandmother. Yeah.
Exactly. People are their own worst enemy, and it happens. They lose their credit cards. And then there's all that rampant theft and fraud that takes place, right? Where people are skimming cards or just looking up in configurations, making cards, etc. So you have to have this storage facility. And with like precious metals, there's this vault in Salt Lake City, and there's one in Delaware, and there's one in Texas, where behind armed guard, 24/7 insurance, by Lloyd's, that's how people store these things in an IRA. Because you have to store everything at an arm's length distance. For example, you cannot buy the house you live in and put it in your retirement. That's a prohibited transaction. So these things have to be at a distance from you. So that's why the government gives us that awesome tax deduction for putting money aside. And then if you do a Roth, you get tax-free growth and you get to distribute down the road without additional taxes. They give us that, but in order to do that, you have to separate yourself from your investments. It's part of the process. So we found the best of the breed back then, and still leader of the space. People call them the Brinks of the space, which is BitGo. And there really are two big security players in the industry. There's BitGo and there's Coinbase. And they have all evolved so much. In order for us to get to a point of an ETF, or that banks are willing to hold these, they don't want to just say, oh, I'm Joe, I own the bank, and I have the key, and then just that device. You have to have what's administrative controls, geographic distribution, checks and count balances, right? And one person can't do that. And banks have to have that for their big funds if they want to move. When you like wire $1 million somewhere, there's about 11 people that are probably involved in that process on both sides of that transaction. And so we built out that similar feeling for the crypto space so that we could go knock on the door of a bank out of Kentucky, Kingdom Trust in South Dakota. And we said, hey, we want to do this. And I flew out there, I remember, and their board's really cool guys. Like, being from Colorado, we're like, everybody loves us, right? So you can be in any room. It's a nice place to be from. So I get down and the Southern boys are loving me, and I explain this product without naming the product, is what I did. So here's how it's going to work. It's going to store like this, and it's a vault like this, and there, here's the keys to the vault, and the assets are procured on this exchange. And money moves, what they like is net movement. So you don't just send $10 for every transaction. You do batches of transactions. Same with the coin. You move the coin over. Because less touches is more secure. So lay it all out. And then at the end of it, I go, and big reveal. And the asset is Bitcoin. And that, like, I had them and then I lost them in a matter of like 10 seconds. Because either they didn't know what it was, or at that time, all they'd heard about it was like Silk Road. It's for terrorists. It's for drug dealers. It's for money laundering. It didn't have what it is today, right? It's not seen in that way. So I went a couple back and forth. And I joke with the president of that bank at the time, because now we work together. We've merged. We always joke. He goes, I remember that day where you just decided to go for forgiveness, not permission. Because I was like, maybe sometimes you just have to see it happen, right? You just, something happens and now you know how to deal with it, right? Because it's in front of you and you're not speculating. And so we got there, and that was in June of 2016. The first client was actually, this is the best part, I think, was the former director of the United States Mint, Edmund Moy. So appointed by the president, and their job is to manage the mints, which is creation of all the money that's in. So I always used to joke with him, like, you're the guy that printed the most amount of money in history, as you're being the first person that's going to buy the new money of the future, right? And he's still sitting in it, done very well. Long-term hodlers, a lot of long-term set it, forget it mentality. But watching, you know, those are the first, I'm still close friends. He's on my phone. Rocket Roy, as he calls himself. He's number 11. He crashed our holiday party a couple years ago and brought his wife with him and brought me a jersey. He made these Bitcoin IRA hockey jerseys, and mine has number 1 on it. Cause the first one, which actually I wasn't the first, I was like 0 or prime. Like, I guess we started counting when it wasn't us. And he's number 11. And so we got matching hockey jerseys. If Bitcoin IRA ever has a team, we've already got them made. They're ready. They're orange. They look great. And so what I noticed was, there are people of all walks of life, engineers, from NASA. There's guys that left their jobs that worked at Intel, nurses, lawyers, blue collar guys like our pops as were like, right? They were in construction and all those these trades. There's no like this is a Bitcoiner anymore. We are all Bitcoiners, and what I love to see is some of the freedom components I was talking about earlier, like watching Rocket Roy be able to retire. He had to go back into workforce because of the 09 hits. He was ready to retire. Been with NASA since like 76. Had to go back in with Bitcoin and all the other cryptos that he's invested in. He's now retiring, and he actually consults because he knows something that everybody needs to know. How does a heat shield work? Like, that's his specialty. So the world of the Bezos and the Musks of the world, they need guys like this, even though you would think that they're old NASA guys. There's some things you can't recreate with AI. Like, there's how does heat shields work and how are they built and the things they learned. Watching a nurse out of Missouri had maybe a couple hundred thousand in her retirement account and was coming on like thinking she was gonna have to work well into her like almost like late 70s. And now she got in so early with us that she just travels with her grandkids all the time. She's not even 72 yet. So she's like early retirement kind of thing. And that's what folks are looking for. But the pretense of it is you had to make it fit, right? You can't just say, hey, I'm going to do this. And the bank goes, yeah, that sounds great. Just have fun with it. You had to make it fit their world. And we've grown since, you know, with those meager beginnings, we were just running our quarterly for Q3 and our year end planning. And we will probably break about 14 billion in assets under custody this year. And about 60,000 account holders. And I tell you, I know that one of the things, the measuring post that this is about is that's crazy. I didn't think when I was taking that one-way ticket in a suitcase and living in a motel, would I ever be here? And I feel blessed and I love it and I'm fortunate to have everything I have. But for me, like the big thing was like, where I won this game, and my partners will say it, is my work ethic. Like there's one thing you can control is your work ethic, right? We can all get knowledge. I got books everywhere. AI does it for us now, right? Like you don't even have to be smart anymore. The knowledge is at our fingertips. But your work ethic is what distinguishes you. And that's what I love about you, Joe. Dude, you're a hustler, bro. You are grinding. I remember when I was in the motel, I think you were just starting the trivia game back at like, that was one of the things you were doing as a side hustle. So just, I think work ethic is for anything you take away. If you want financial freedom, if you want these things, you just have to outwork everybody. And that's actually possible to do without killing yourself.
Yeah. And I think that's really the best takeaway that I got from that, because obviously your knowledge set can be picked up from a book, the internet, you can do the AI, but you do have to grind. And I appreciate you acknowledging my grind. And that's one thing, like I said, we knew that about you when you were six, bro. We already knew that you were going to be somebody big. And you might not know this about Chris Klein, but he was actually up for Fortune's 40 under 40, which means he did very well for himself. And that's not something to be overlooked. And I know you didn't actually get chosen for that honor, but to even be considered, bro, that's like something a fantasy for people, you know, and it's not just about the financial success, because obviously that's nice. And that does allow for freedom of time, but it is that hustle, man. You took something that didn't exist and you molded it out of clay, you and your team, and you guys have built something. Dude, you chartered a bank, bro. You're a bank owner. That's crazy. It's people, they're trying to decide what bank they want to go to. I know a guy that owns a bank. And by the way, you know, I like how you also mentioned that it's not like you look at a guy and go, that guy must be a Bitcoiner. It comes from all walks of life. And to those of you listening to this right now, if you don't have anything invested in cryptocurrency, it's still never too late to get in. Just start buying them. Start stacking them up. Choose some different coins. Pick some of the stable ones, the Bitcoins, the Ethereums. But I'm sure you could, you know, your team does advice and you know, sort of onboarding calls with people that maybe want to explore one of those other 1,400 coins. And some are probably not safe or not a good investment, but I'm sure that there's a lot of up and coming ones that you can still get in on the ground floor and turn a nice profit, even if it's to a smaller degree of Bitcoin. So I'm going to put, and for full transparency, an affiliate link from Bitcoin IRA around this video when we do upload it. But consider that as a part of your retirement strategy and your assets, because, you know, we don't, you know, you talk about like side hustles. It's good to have side hustles and different streams of income. You don't want to have all your eggs in one basket either with your retirement. Don't just do a 401k. You can't retire on just liquid savings in a savings account at Wells Fargo. That's never going to get you there because your dollars are losing value every year. So diversify, get some cryptocurrency, have some real estate, have a 401k and a money market account, have an IRA, a traditional one. Definitely spread out your wealth, and that way you have those separate streams of income. But again, that comes from knowing somebody that can help you guide and navigate those sort of nuances and intricacies of a retirement plan, but also just like be a little bit more aggressive with your finances. So you're not the 75-year-old nurse still working and worrying about if their 150, 200 grand is going to be enough to retire on, because let's be real, it's probably not. You know, that's one broken hip away from being bankrupt. I mean, the medical industry and everything else is so expensive. You got to protect yourself. And by doing that, you know, go to Bitcoin IRA and open an account.
Well, we used to always joke when we were kids. I remember when we all started working was, what's this Social Security thing coming out of my paycheck? And it's now, and everybody's, oh, that you're not, even our parents were like, oh, you're not going to see any of that. And it's about 9 years away with both plans. Like, it doesn't matter what happens in November. There's a lot of, we're in an election cycle right now. So there's a lot of, and I don't know if you remember the first one with your kids, if they were paying attention to it, but Izzy, for some reason, is paying attention to this. And it's so cute to watch, because like one day she's like, Dad, it's like people got to get Trump in because he's going to save the economy. And then like a week later, it's, hey, Dad, I heard Kamala could do a lot of stuff to save it. And I was like, welcome to your first presidential election, kid, because it really not a lot changes as a result of just that day in November, because there's not an answer. None of them have a silver bullet to getting prices under control. None of them have a silver bullet to, I mean, there are things that they can impact, but there's also, we're kind of on some of these runaway trains as an economy that we just decided to be here and we can't get off of them. And like you said, money sitting just in a savings account making minimal interest, you got to make that money work for you. And there are a lot of cool coins. So we have 75 on our platform, by the way. And there's several of them that serve different purposes. When you're looking at it, and best thing I always recommend for folks, meet with our guys. We can give you all kinds of intel. But also, don't assume that every coin is going to become Bitcoin, because that actually defeats the purpose of the concept. So when I remember in 2017, Bitcoin was running to like 20,000, and people that felt like they missed it were like, oh, I want to buy Ripple because it's only a dollar, and if it goes to there, I'm going to make more. But what Ripple is it's supposed to replace bank wire fees and transaction fees. Well, if one Ripple costs $500, it's now priced itself out of the market. It can't compete. So you would never see, and that's why there's so much supply to certain coins. Great place to do homework and research. CoinMarketCap has a breakdown of not just the historical, but also will tell you who's involved with it. What are the key elements of the white paper or the details around it? Almost every coin comes out with a white paper of this is what our coins for, and this is why we're issuing coins and what they're going to be used for. And there's a lot of noise out there for sure. I've been to some conferences that I saw some coins. I was like, you kind of tap the brakes and you go, what's the utility here? Will people really use this? What's the point of it? Is it going to have a purpose to it? Or is it just a cool idea and it was easy to make a token around it? But yeah, there's a lot of homework to do. And that's one thing I'm glad you pointed out, Joe. We actually did not go full robot. So instead of just you go to a website, you sign up and you do these things, you're talking about people's retirement money and you're talking about assets that are brand new to most Americans or somewhat familiar. So we actually have humans, real people, guys that have been with me now since the beginning that sit down and they do a virtual conference like what we're doing today with you and your family. They'll go over the platform, but we really want to understand you. This is where our relationship starts because your alternative world and journey is kind of starting with us. People don't just stay in Bitcoin forever. At some point, and some of the winners from early on have cashed out and or bought real estate in their IRA with their winnings, or they've moved on to other things. And that's where our relationship starts there. We'll sit down, we'll break down all the details about our security, the insurance, who we are, what we offer for you. But just kind of cool to be able to have that analog part to this. It's hard to find, and you'll find a bunch of nerds on the internet that will kind of make you feel dumb because you don't know what the vocabulary or the nomenclature is, which is annoying because that's not really that powerful. And there's a group of folks in this space that really, our goal is to help Americans retire, and you have to do that with some freedom from the traditional. You have to break free from, we're not an economy where you can even, I mean, this next generation is going to have two or three jobs. They're going to be gigs. They're going to be the gig economy, full tilt. Izzy's doesn't even want to go to college, which we'll have to have that conversation at some point. But she's ready to go and build a business. She suffers from what I had as a kid was like eczema, which almost like 90% of kids have eczema now, like itchies on their skin. And God knows why, but it's stuff in the environment, I'm sure. I sound like a Californian now, don't I? But so she wants to make a Sephora-like competitor for people with sensitive skin. That's what she wants. That's her niche that she wants to build around and focus on. And so these, we're going to do so, the next generation is going to do something different. But at the end of the day, if you're getting paid in dollars and you're just stacking and stacking and stacking, even if you're making 5-10% interest on that, you got to think about the purchasing power of where it's going. Is it going as far as it was going? No. Are you losing probably 10% over the same year? Probably yes, because things are just naturally more expensive now. Especially for those of us who have kids, that just doesn't stop. Now you've got to feed literally a man in your house, right? He's graduating.
It's funny,
this year.
Yeah, he's graduating in May of 25. But you're absolutely right, and it's funny you brought up the skincare stuff. My daughter Maya would absolutely work for Izzy all day. She's awesome. And she's got dry skin patches and stuff. Same thing, but she absolutely loves that. And they are. I like that they're kind of like entrepreneurial spirits. And you know, yeah. Luke, my son, he's very black and white. He's very analytical. He's already known for years he's going to go to School of Mines. He wants to be an engineer, and he's got that Type A personality where he knows. But Maya. She's like, she wants to be everything. She's like Izzy. She's a hustler. She wants to have 10 different careers. And every time I talk to her, she's going to be a lawyer or a doctor or a cowboy astronaut. And I'm like, I love it. Like, I love that sort of drive and like go out there and shoot for the moon. Right. And like, yep. There's no reason why you have to go do the traditional way where you go into corporate America, join a union, do the 4-year college. You know, those days are not necessarily what they used to be. And there's so many avenues. And even like, you know, one of my nephews, he's 18, graduated last year, and he's like, well, I don't really, you know, school's really not just on my radar right now. Maybe I'll do like something with my hands, be blue collar guy. I go, dude, absolutely. The world needs mechanics and electricians and plumbers, and those guys are making a ton of money right now. You
and
can make six figures all day long.
Those. But private equity is flooding into those. People want to, if they're going to put money behind a business, they're stop the Silicon Valley, the great idea, the next Google. That's hard to find. So they're saying, well, tried and true, Americans are going to need heating, HVAC, hot water heater situation. So interestingly, you know, I went to Boulder, go Buffs. We might make a bowl this year. And it was fun to watch this team play. But I was in the president's leadership program there. It was like the top kids of each class came in. Coolest of all the things I did in college, that's the thing I take away. And I still have such great relationships with the kids that were with me in that class at the same time from all over the place, all walks of life. Raleigh, one of my good friends, she's in South Dakota, and she was the youngest female to make partner in a criminal defense firm up there, and like really just like wanted to become the best at that. But they just announced, finally, I was really excited, the alumni mentor program. So of course I was excited to sign up, and they paired me with a current scholar, and he's going to leave college and he wants to redefine the HVAC and electrical business. He comes from a blue collar family. His grandfather and father were contractors like me, but doesn't want to do that. He wants to change the whole game, and he's got these brilliant ideas. And so this is what you're got to compete with in the future. This is the next like layer of, and at the end of the day, we all want something. Freedom is different for everybody. I have partners that are insatiable. I always joke with them. We could make as much money. They always want more, right? I have a number in mind. People have their number in mind where they want to be at. But to get there it takes that grind, and knowing that this friendly competition, you know, it's like when we were playing t-ball, we can keep score between each other. You have your own score you keep with yourself, but you got to show up to practice. You got to learn how to swing the bat. You got to learn like all those pieces of anything, right? Just bring that all full circle back for us.
Yeah. And you know what though, but that also touches on something you said earlier. That's your work ethic, man. Like you got to show up to practice. You got to put in those after hour, practice sessions where you're learning, you're hustling, you're grinding, you're learning. I said that twice cause that's that important. but it's true, you know, and it doesn't matter how you make your money, whether you're doing it on a podcast, whether you're running a bank, whether you're an HVAC, it's what you do with your money that makes the difference. And that's where you get your freedom from. Like we said, don't just put it in a savings account. Gone are the days when you stuff it in your mattress and that's your plan. You can't do that anymore. So you got to learn these new things. And again, with all the shiny objects out there, it started with crypto and now it's the AI world. It's so easy to look at it and just be like blown away because it's analysis paralysis. It's so much information to take in that it's like at some point you just start. Quit reading about it. Quit doing the research. You're never going to do the research enough because by the time you get done reading that novel, it's already obsolete. There's already 5 more behind it. So just go out there and put that work ethic into motion and just learn something. And again, like we missed the original, the bubble, you know, I missed that initial crypto, the Bitcoins when they were $5 a pop. Those are gone. Can't get them anymore. Now they're, what, 45, 50 grand. So, but you can start small and still get in on it. And don't be afraid.
Well, you don't have to
like,
buy a whole Bitcoin either. I think that's a common
exactly.
misnomer. The Bitcoin is just like money. We divisible to quarters, nickels, dimes, pennies. Bitcoin is actually divisible to what they call the Satoshi, which is the 11th decimal point, or 10th. I always say it wrong, but at 0.000001 is a Satoshi. It's worth, you know, 25 cents or something like that today. I'd have to pull out a calculator to remember what a Satoshi's worth. But you don't. A lot of people come in, they buy half of a coin, a third of a coin. You don't have to also buy it all at once. One of the things with all investing, prudent strategy, dollar cost average. If you decide, hey, I want to buy X or Y. You can't really do it with real estate, right? That's one tough one, is that you have to like get in or get out of the market. You can't sell half the house yet. But someday that's going to get fractionalized with crypto at some point, where you can get into those things and have actual assets, but you just are a share, kind of like they used to sell back when we were kids, beachfront property by the square foot, because when people were looking you up as a person to give you creditworthiness, if you said it, all they saw was beachfront property. They didn't see that you had 1 square foot of it. You could go see your 1 foot, right? But I digress there. But that's a big thing, is like, you take it, if you're going to buy a Bitcoin across the next year, take the emotion out of it. Just every day, on the seventh day of every month, I'm going to make a purchase. And you can program it into platforms like ours, recurring purchases and things like that. Coinbase has a great one too. And then you're taking the emotion. You're not watching, oh, is it up? It's down. I got to time this. Nobody can do that. I can't even do that. This thing surprises me constantly. When it has crazy dips or what may make it go run for, I always get the call from the all the rich people in my life, and they're like, well, why is it doing it? And I'm like, I don't want to sound dumb, but I don't know. I got to go look. I got to break this down. There's a lot of pressures and things on it. So just spread it out. Make it really easy on yourself. And that way you'll get some days where it's down, some days where it's up. And people forget this too. When you go to sell it, do the same thing. So you don't just go, oh, my Bitcoin's now worth $1 million. I'm just going to sell it all today. And then a week from there, it doubles again. And you're like, oh, man, I shouldn't have sold all of it, right? So it's same concept. Just take those chunks, break them down. Pick your timetable, 6 months, a year, and how much do you want to invest? And then just divide. 1/12. I'm going to do 1/12 of my investment every month.
Yeah, and that's a brilliant strategy, and it does. It takes some of the scariness out of it, but also like the emotion out of it, which is ideal, because if your money is automated and it just, if before you even see your paycheck hit your actual bank account, if that $100 gets automatically transferred over to your Bitcoin account, you never miss it. You don't even know it's gone, right? But I like, it just made me think of Joe Dirt, the movie. You're like, I don't know, how did that happen? I have no idea. There's that scene when the dad is, he goes, well, how's a posi track on the rear end of a Plymouth work? Well, it just does. And that, I mean, that's the truth of it. You don't need to understand everything and why it works. Just know that you're involved in it. And that, you know, if you got your feet in the water, then you're going to feel the wetness. So, and that's a weird analogy, but it's true. You know, you don't have to understand every single detail of something before you get involved in it. So with that in mind, what is sort of the future that you see for Bitcoin IRA, and what's the next steps for you? Obviously, you chartered a bank, you're crushing it in the crypto space, you're helping people retire early. What's next? What's on the horizon? What can we expect from Bitcoin IRA?
Well, I think we're going to keep expanding features and functionality. We're continuously, you're going to see our name in a lot of places you haven't before. We're going to take a solid messaging of education around the difference between the ETF and the real thing. ETFs are great in all kinds of facets of the world, but they are just proxy certificates or IOUs. There is a value to holding the real thing itself, like a gold bar or a piece of real estate or a Bitcoin, versus having a kind of like one of the guys back in the day I worked with would say, if the boat's going down, do you want a life jacket or a life jacket certificate? And so to have that real thing to hold on to. I'm working on getting approval from the board for something fun that was inspired by, remember Miss Gunkel, our Spanish teacher back in high school? Because I think you probably remember the day we were like sophomores. We went in there, it was supposed to be Spanish class, and there was stuff about IRAs on the board. And I paid attention probably more in that day than any, no offense, Miss Gunkel, my Spanish is terrible. I have a Mexican wife and my Spanish is still terrible. But that kind of inspired me on this thing I want to do with Izzy, is I want to take time from March and April, which is Financial Literacy Month, and take it old school and maybe go on a whistle stop tour around the country. So on train, go to like 10 or 15 cities and stop and go to a local school and do a presentation like what Mrs. Gunkel did. Bring Izzy with me. She'll be like the videographer, the content gatherer. Like, make put her to work for a month and let her see what it's like to run a campaign like this. And then do the local media. Maybe see, I saw you had Mike Nelson, which also made me think of like doing Nine News or one of those local in a radio, because I know you're a radio guy too. You were at KS107.5 at one point in time. See, I still got that inner Colorado in me. I remember all those things.
Oh, yeah.
But something like that is what we're probably going to do next year. And we also have a big announcement. I get in trouble if I say it, but we bought our first big brand, and we're bringing that to market which is really going to take this from crypto to the entire alternative asset ecosystem and make it as simple for folks as going to their Fidelity, but not to go buy stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, but to understand all these other assets that are available in front of you, turnkey. So lots of exciting stuff.
No, that's you got me excited, and I'm not even involved in the boardroom. But no, it's cool. First of all, I love the educational piece of it. Like, get out there and teach people, because it is still a mystery. It's a wild unicorn for a lot of us. So to kind of take the veil off of it and make it not so alarming and scary and unknown, and start with the kids. I love that. Go to the schools, teach the 8 and 9 and 10 year olds. Cause they're the ones that are going to matter. You know, a lot of us and our parents' age, they have to figure out their social security and they're fine. You know, and us, like, if we don't have it already something started, we're in trouble. Our generation is, but you know, my son and down, they need to know this information. And I love that you're out there doing it. And I like, get Izzy out there and, you know, put her boots on the ground. But I don't have any doubt in my mind that that little girl is going to be a CEO somewhere down the line too. She's got Chris Klein through and through mentality. So I love that. And, you know, again, if you need help booking tours and getting in those things and local media, brother, I'm on board to always help you. I love your mission. And I first of all, I love you, man. We, like I said, we've been friends for, you know, 33 years of our lives. And, you know, obviously you live in a different state now, so we don't get to go have that happy hour beer every other weekend. But, you know, just even coming out for our 20-year high school and, you know, reunion not too long ago, you know, it's cool to be able to reconnect and to see your success. And it's an inspiration for me and in my circle to watch a guy like you that I'm like, dude, I had lunch with that kid and look at him. Look, you're crushing it, brother. And I love to see that. And it's no competition. You know, I hate when you see people that get that sort of chip on their shoulder, like, well, why is this guy even got more money than me or he's doing better? You know what? It doesn't matter. We're all going to get our turn at success. And I love seeing you do so well, man. And you've got a beautiful family, beautiful daughter. And the future is bright, man. And I can't wait to see. And no spoilers. You don't have to tell us the big brand you bought. But I can't wait to see what comes next. And
I'll come and back certainly when it goes live and we'll talk about it. How's that sound?
Yeah, I'll definitely bring you back on for a second one because we're getting close to an hour now on this one. But I feel like we could talk for another three. So, yeah, we'll definitely bring you back on. And when that update happens, I would love to share that. And again, like I said, I will put a link, an affiliate link to Bitcoin IRA. Consider opening an account. And you know what? For full transparency, I haven't even opened an account with you yet, and I'm going to do that this week. So, I've got my Charles Schwab. I know the old man did, and you know what? I felt I was kind of in that boat, like, you know, doing mortgages, and then the second crisis happened, and you know, it just kind of took the wind out of my sails as far as my investing slowed down, and you know, but I'm back in where I got a new angle in life, new hustle. Again, that's that grind, kids out there. You got to do you always looking for your opportunities, you know, keep your eyes open. But, you know, I need to get an account open with you. I want to support your business, but it's also a financially sound plan. So, BitcoinIRA.com, get there, sign up. My man Chris and his team, they're going to help you learn it. They're going to go see your kids at their school. They're going to teach them. And then your kids are going to come home and teach you how to invest better because, you know, they're the future and they're probably smarter than us already.
Izzy, just a last thing. Thank you for having me, Joe. It's been a blast. Izzy, I was at a wedding in Mexico this past weekend, and we left on Friday, and Izzy had her first volleyball tournament, and they won first place, and she got her medal, and she calls me on FaceTime and doesn't just dangles it in front of the screen and goes, this is something you don't have, because I push her for, you know, student of the month and GPAs. Like, I'm a hard dad. I'm nice about it, but I put a lot of pressure. So that was that win, and, you know, those are the kids. Like, that's, if nothing else, do it for the kids at the end of the day.
You know, I love that. And Izzy, next time I see you, I'm buying you an ice cream for that because that's hilarious. And congratulations on first place. And Chris, yeah, man, thank you for your time today. First of all, it was really informative. It's a great platform that you guys have built, and you're helping people retire, and I love it. We're going to push it out there. Obviously, links will be all around this video when it's released. And again, the Measuring Post isn't just about growing internally. It is about helping your retirement, your financial life, your freedom, your time management. So it's a bit of everything, and I love that you just really schooled us on something that was a bit foreign to me, and I know a lot of people listening. So again, Chris, thank you for your time on the Measuring Post, brother. Love you, love the family, and can't wait to see you next time. And in real life, we'll plan a trip. Whenever you go to do one of those business trips to Vegas, give me a little notice. Maybe I can talk my wife into letting me go too.
Sounds great.